everybody. This is Caddy. We are in the May Cafe, almost the end of May, but still in May. And we are so lucky to have one Mr. Nicholas Rhodes, my favorite person to talk to.
You tell all the boys that.
I do love talking to you. Someone said to me, "Oh, are you ready for your cafe with Nick?" And I said, "Oh, I really don't have to get ready like I do with the other boys." Nick and I are just we flow. And it's funny because you and John both share a June, you're both in June birthday boys. And so we swap every other year, but for the past 2 years, for some reason, Nick has been in June. So I promised JT he would get June this
I don't mind
year.
May. I don't mind May at all. It's the month of the Chelsea Flower Show. It's also the month
Ah.
of my mother's birthday,
Ah.
and my other Taurean friends. And the weather, it's not been too bad. We've got a little heat wave. We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave here in London, just for a couple of days, though, or maybe a couple of hours. You never know.
We had that here in New York, and now it's cold out. As you can see, I'm wearing a sweater. It's low. It's like 61 degrees. It's crazy. I think it's
Yeah.
crazy. So we have not spoken since the Academy Awards, the Oscar Cafe. For those wondering, Nick won. He beat me
Did
by,
I?
yep, by two. Beat
I
me
got the
by
main film wrong though this year,
two.
didn't I? Because I really
You
did
did.
think
You thought,
Sinners was going to win, and
yeah.
I really think it should have won. Not that I disliked the other movie at all. I thought it was really great. I'm a big P.T. Anderson fan, but I did think Sinners was the better movie. So. That's the
You
first
still
time I
beat
lost that
me.
one in a while, did I?
I
Oh,
think a lot
well.
of people thought Sinners had the momentum. You picked Sean Penn, and even though I thought Sean should win, I didn't think he would win because he was so clear about not being there that I thought people would
Yeah.
just not vote for him. He'd already won. So you picked that, and then there was another one you got right that I got wrong. So you won.
Oh well, I think we did pretty well, Catherine. They were a good batch. It's the only thing to really say as a closing remark on it is that I always feel before we get to Oscar time, sort of December or whatever it is, we start looking December, January, really, don't we?
Yeah.
And before that, I think, God, there's hardly been any movies this year at all that are any good, and there's nothing I'm really excited about. And then suddenly, when you start to look at the full list and you unravel it, there's always some hidden gems in there. And the foreign movies again this year, every year I prefer the foreign movies, but this year I thought they were just, well, last year now, I thought they were just exception. So
Oh,
I
right
look forward to it.
before. Wait, let me quickly look at my Instagram. Right before the Oscars, on your suggestion, I watched It Was Just an Accident.
Oh,
That
yeah.
was that Iranian? I can't remember. Well,
The way, well,
whatever.
that's the one that unfolds just when you think not much is going to happen, and then there's the kidnapping and
Yeah.
crazy behavior. Fantastic. I
It
love that. I thought it
was.
was a real roller coaster and very unexpected, unpredictable. They were all pretty out there, the foreign ones this time. But anyway, for those who haven't seen them, it's really worth spending a few hours. I have fr some friends who have a phobia of foreign language movies,
That's
and I've never.
silly.
Well, it's ridiculous. I have a phobia of dubbed movies. I can only watch them in their original language with subtitles. But really, they're such great works of creativity that. It's a terrible world if you rule out not watching foreign movies and just watch English language movies, I think. So I would encourage anyone to watch movies in different languages because there are clever people elsewhere, you know.
I know. And it's interesting how when you start watching, you wonder if you're gonna with the subtitles, but then your brain kind of clicks in on it and you don't even realize you're reading them at some point. You
Yeah, but
know, it's
it's
very
the mood as
interesting.
well. I think even though I don't understand a word of some Iranian Arabic, at the same time, There's something about the mood and the inflections in their voices when they say things that draws you into the movie more than having it dubbed by some fool who really is not an actor and it doesn't feel right and the words are not matching the mouths. That drives me insane. I don't mind with bad lip sync on music videos. That makes me laugh. Can't deal with it dubbed.
I hear you. I think that's just like on airplanes when you're flying and they have it a movie in two different
Oh no,
languages.
a lot of people give you the choice if you go into all the settings.
Really?
Yeah, if you go into settings on different TVs where it's available, you can choose between dubbed or subtitled.
Well, I'll have to
Yeah, I'm
check that
afraid so.
out.
I know I'd block it if I could, but hey.
That's crazy. So we have a lot to talk about because in March, when we last spoke, or yeah, it was March, there wasn't a lot going on with Duran Duran. You were maybe had announced a few tour dates, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, literally out of nowhere, came Free to Love, like a little spring gift to the world. It came trickling through the airwaves. So we haven't really spoken to you about it. So I have lots of questions. Working with Niall, the music video, the remix. I will say that I had a cafe with Roger last month, and he said, and I think Simon corroborated this, that during studio work for Dance Macabre, there was just like a piece of music that you, Nicholas, could not get out of your head, and you said this piece of music can make this is a song, and you kept coming back to it. And the other guys were like, "Really?" So
A little like that.
take it from
Well,
there.
when we were writing with Niall, which were the sessions that produced Black Moonlight, we wanted something very specific for the Danse Macabre album. And once Niall plugs in and we all start playing together, we jam for a few hours. And so within that time, there's so many interesting things that could be turned into something. But usually, when you're all together in a studio jamming, what happens is you play something for a minute and then everyone thinks, yeah, we can do better than that. And you move on, somebody else starts playing something different, and it just develops and metamorphoses into different moods for a minute here, a minute there. But along that journey, somewhere, Niall was playing this riff, and whatever I was playing that was matching with him on the keyboard, and John had started playing with him as well. And we'd all locked in to this groove that was uplifting and cool. And it was only a small section that we played it for, maybe a couple of minutes. But I knew I'd sort of marked it, and I had Josh, our engineer, mark where it was. I said, no, I want that. But we knew it wasn't for the Halloween album because the Halloween album, we wanted something moody and cool and a little bit darker. But this was just bright, colorful, summer, uplifting, which I also love, contrary to some rumor. And I just felt instinctively that that had something special in it. So, yes, I had earmarked it. It's true. And I never let go of it. I have a memory like an elephant. And so I went in with Josh one day and into the studio and said, right, I want to find that thing. And we tracked it right to where it was in those sessions. And I pulled it out and just literally took Niall's parts and my parts and John's parts and put them all together. And like a jigsaw, really, and started to put it into a shape where I could then present it to everybody else, which was very embryonic. A Duran Duran song only becomes a song when everybody in the band says, yes, we all like that. And then we all play on it. But it has to start somewhere. And in this case, it was by me piecing together what we got from that groove and then saying, right, well, that could be a verse and that could be a chorus. And let's just leave a little gap for the middle and then playing it to everyone. And because it's such a cool sounding, piece, everybody jumped on it immediately. and said, "Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yes, definitely, let's do it." So it wasn't as if I met with any resistance whatsoever. It's quite an infectious groove.
That's interesting. Simon said that he was like, "Oh, I don't know if what I can come up with for this." And then he said
Well,
John said, like, not exactly free to love, but something like free to love. And then that's how it always goes. It sparks
it
something.
does, but Simon's always like that with any song, any piece of instrumental music until he gets
Right.
his inspiration on it. And I understand it. His position is, look, if I don't have something, then no, I don't like it. Or
Right, right, right.
it doesn't work for me. And then
Right, right, right.
suddenly, when he finds his way in through the door, he loves it.
Right.
That's Simon all over, and why he's so good at what he does, because he found something unusual and unique. Well, unique, not unusual, unique,
Unique for him.
which is more important. And once he knew he'd got that, of course he was thrilled, and we all were. But it is finding your way around the song. John was right in there because his part was almost there already. And I'd got the skeleton of what I wanted to do. So it was really quite enlightening putting it together with the goal of making it a summer dance song.
And
I
you
don't know, I think it's,
succeeded.
yeah, but I think it's timing with these things because without getting into it, because nobody needs to listen to it anymore, but the world is such a horrible mess. And any little window towards brightness or levity that you can find, I think is very valuable at this point. I'm watching less news than I think I've ever watched. Of course, I read to understand what's going on, but I don't even like watching TV anymore because it's just one after another, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of space for good news. So our thought was, well, let's put something out and just put that other stuff to aside for a moment. Let's escape through that door. And what we actually had was Free For Love. And I'd said, well, I think it should be Free To Love. And Simon was insisting that he liked Free For Love. And then Niall came and said, actually, I think it should be Free To Love. And then Simon went, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, Free To Love.
At least he's open. He's open to
No,
suggestions, Simon.
of course he is. It was, but it
You
was just, but those are the kind of things that go on before you nail down
get
a lyric and a sentiment of the song, because I think Free To Love is actually much stronger than Free For Love.
I agree. Actually, I mean, I don't know if the song was called Free for Love and we were having this conversation oppositely, and you
Yeah.
said, you know, but I like Free to Love a lot. I like the name. Tell me
That's a good point
about.
as well, because it was Free For Love, now it's Free To Love, but hey, that sounds like a tennis score with, yeah. Anyway, go on.
Tell me about the video and working with Jonas, which I know you love. I
I
know.
do. I do. We all do. He's Duran Duran's favorite director for music videos. He's made a lot of the best ones that exist over the last 20 odd years, longer now, I think. And we first worked with Jonas quite late on when we did Girl Panic with him.
Oh,
And
wow.
we'd always loved his work, but somehow we never got in touch properly, and our stars never aligned. And I love some of the things he did with Madonna. I think he did Ray of Light, which I thought at the time was really super good video. He's worked with her a lot. He's worked with everyone, but with us, he's just the perfect combination. He understands what we're about, he understands what we want to represent, he understands the style of it, he understands the vibe more than anything. And he also understands a little bit of humor, which is very much part of our thinking in most things we do. And with this, I'd had a very simple idea to just pay homage to the great late Top of the Pops. And it's interesting because I've been doing a few interviews and talking to people saying, well, when we were doing Top of the Pops, we all thought at the time, oh, this show, it's just not as good as it could be, and it's a bit cheesy, and the presenters are not quite right, and the lighting is terrible, and the staging of it, I don't know, it feels very sort of small and provincial in some ways. And then you look at these big shows, the Grammys, whatever they all are, with these massive productions, and Top of the Pops was really like a little toy show. But somehow now, looking back at it, we've all got this great fondness for it, and the memories of, oh, not this tiny little studio again, have become how great that everybody was in that tiny little studio, and how amazing that we were all reduced to exactly the same level. It didn't matter whether it was someone's grandma playing a piano who happened to be number one, or us, or The Who, or David Bowie. In this tiny little studio, we've all been there, and we'd all done this show many times. And Niall, of course, had done it with Chic. And so he remembered it too. And when we all arrived and we looked at the stage that Jonas had built, we said, yeah, that's it. Jonas just made it a little bit more stylish in a way. But the brief was, let's really get it as close to Top of the Pops as we can, because there's generations of people out there now who have never even seen a Top of the Pops or never heard of it, don't know what it is. And of course, it was a different time period when people used to gather together and write songs as bands. I know some still do, but the majority of the music in the charts is produced in studios by producers, individual artists. So that kind of show would be hard to really broadcast now, to make it work, because you'd have one guy with a computer, or one diva on her own. Well, sometimes with a band, in fairness to that, but it would be a very, very different show. But in America, you had similar shows. You had American Bandstand, obviously, which was probably the closest thing to Top of the Pops. And the one that I've always loved, and we only ever did it once, was Soul Train, which, boy, that show. I was saying to someone the other day, I've never been in a room with so many great dancers ever in my life. It was incredible. I mean, just look everywhere you looked around, they were the coolest kids. And yeah,
How
so
come
we had.
Duran Duran never did American Bandstand?
I
Just
don't know.
like, I think it was harder to do the like in those days to do those things, to fly over and do such a thing. But you were so massive and they had everybody. It's weird.
I don't know really. We did a lot of shows, but they were mostly those late night shows. And
And
Saturday Night Live, we did very early on.
No, you did everything except for Bandstand. You did Arsenio, you did Joan Rivers, you did John, maybe not Johnny, you did Jay Leno, Letterman, everybody. But never Bandstand.
Don't know. What was the one that used to punch the air? Casey Kasem. What was he on?
He was American Top 40. It was on radio. I don't think he had his he
I
wasn't
don't know. I see video
televised.
of him because he was the guy that always used to punch the air, wasn't he? But yeah, I don't know. Lots of shows. But anyway,
So you
that was the video.
wanted so you but you wanted it to look just like Top of the Pops.
Yeah,
And
well,
then
we
you
wanted all the camera moves and the fact that they used all the flares and the dancers in the studio and the scale of it and the graphics and the performance of what it would have been like. And of course, no one was ever plugged in. So I think we got it pretty close, and that's to his great credit. That's Jonas's eye, and knowing what would be fun, and B. Ackerland styled the video, and so I think she did a really great job in making it look from sort of 1978 to 1981 meets 2026. So yeah, it was really fun to
It was
shoot, actually.
definitely
It's only one day
kitschy.
job. Yeah, but it was just a one day shoot, and having all the kids there and the dancers that had obviously been chosen, I thought, wow, this was so well cast, because it really felt like what the audiences were like at Top of the Pops. But yeah, it's had a good reaction, actually. I'm pleased that people are enjoying it. It was meant to make people smile.
Well, it's like for Duran, I want to say this the right way. It's like a simple song for Duran Duran. Sometimes Duran Duran songs have like lots and lots of like layers or weirdness, to be honest. Like take Invisible for a good example. And Free to Love is just like this, it's just this bright song. That's all it is. Which
Well,
is, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying?
oh no,
It's
I love
like,
songs like that. It was really, I think we finally did what we've talked about for many, many years and merged Chic with Duran Duran.
Well, certainly. Yeah, certainly.
That's what it does sound like, and would have sounded like had you done it at any point. I think it's got both of those elements. But yeah, I'm glad we've put it together, and it's led to all kinds of other things, not just the video, but now we've done a load of remixes for it.
My
And
next question that came out today. If I'm sorry to interrupt, but just one of the remix, I know there's going to be several. Horse Meat Disco, which is a very interesting
yeah,
DJ name,
I like that one.
and DJ White Shadow,
Yeah,
their
that's a good one.
interpretations.
Yeah, we've got a load of them that we've had done by people that we thought were interesting, and actually, it's a really good selection. It's the best remixes we've had for a long time, because we sort of moved a little bit away from that world. I felt personally it was becoming quite generic out there, and we certainly have not always had that type of song that's super dance floor friendly. And this one felt like it would lend itself to having remixes. So we got a couple done cautiously to see how it turned out, and they were really good. So we continued the journey, and based upon an album that I loved when it came out, which was Grace Jones's Slave to the Rhythm. What that album was many different versions of the same song in different styles. And so, using that as the inspiration, we are going to put out a collection which will also come out on vinyl eventually. I'm hoping, I say optimistically, maybe by late June, early July, the lot of them should be up there online, and then the album. So that for me is always fun.
That's exciting.
If I have the opportunity to create vinyl, that always makes me happy. So
Yes.
vinyl, there will be vinyl.
I know already fans have written under the posts that I put on social media this morning, 5 a.m., maybe why someone has bags under their eyes, that they were wondering if it would eventually be out on vinyl. So
Definitely.
thanks for clearing that up, Nicholas. So net, so you just, I don't want to jump ahead. You just played a festival in Los Angeles in which Tanner and I got the extreme pleasure of joining you on the road for that and for one of your Vegas dates. So you did a few nights in Vegas and you did a festival. How was it? Was it, you know, what was it like playing Free to Love Live? You like
Well, that
going
was
out
great,
on the
actually.
road? Yeah.
Yeah, well, we also did we did the Jimmy Kimmel show,
Oh, that's right.
which we've done many times, and I'm a big fan of the show. I think he's really 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 something, and so we were thrilled to be on that, and that was really the first time we'd ever played the song anywhere on anything.
Right.
So that was the opening, and then after that, the first time we played it live to a big audience was at the festival in
Yeah.
LA.
Beach life.
Yeah, exactly. We're Redondo Beach. It was my first time at Redondo Beach.
And mine.
And I was trying to figure out where it was, because my geography of LA and the surrounding areas is pretty decent, actually. But I couldn't, for the life of me, figure it out. Everyone said, "Oh, it's just by the airport somewhere." But then I understood. And anyway, the people of Redondo Beach were very kind, and they were a great audience, and we had a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
Because
and I.
festivals are a mixed bag sometimes, I would think. I've not ever played one, but do you enjoy festivals? Because it's not always entirely your audience, so that's probably fun.
Well, I suppose that's one of the things why festivals work for a lot of artists, is that you get your audience that come along, they get to see other music that they don't really know, and the audience there that don't really know your music, maybe some of them will get to know it.
Yeah.
You pick up a little bit of a new audience. And if it's a good day, as it was that day, the weather's good and you're outside and you get that sort of that feeling that of everybody being together, enjoying the same moments, that's quite special. Festivals here in England, Britain, everywhere during the summer now are crazy.
That's, yeah,
There
it's like
used
the
to be
whole
one or
thing.
two. There was
Yeah.
Reading Festival and Nebworth and things like that, I remember from when I was a kid. Now there's hundreds of them. Everybody's got a festival. But
Yeah.
it's because people are enjoying that culture. Because it really is more of an experience. And the idea of, oh, I'm going to watch a band for a while, then I'm going to go to the bar, and then I'm going to go walk around and look at people, and it's become quite sophisticated, certainly in the UK. And I know when we played Coachella a number of years ago, I've never seen such a manicured festival in my life. It was all beautifully done, and the things that are available, and food you can buy, drinks you can buy, the sort of merchandise stores, everything. It's really quite sophisticated. It used to just be a muddy field here. So yes, I think we do enjoy doing them. We've done quite a lot of them over the last decade, and it works pretty well for us.
Do you there was quite a bit of media pickup of what Simon said about Glastonbury.
Of course, we wouldn't do Glastonbury unless we got the headlining spot. I'd just veto it myself, not even a possibility. But I
That's
don't
what
know
he
why.
said.
Well, it's one of those things, I suppose, in Britain. Glastonbury is a big sort of institution at this point, and
Yeah.
people really do sort of want to be a part of it, even if they're watching it on TV. I don't really know. I've never been there. I've seen bits on television before. I saw a bit of Elton when he was headlining it a few years back. Of course, there's always a possibility of doing those things if the time's right, if everything aligns. This year would have been a great year to do it, actually, but they don't have it this year.
Oh, they're not doing it? They're not
No,
doing
they
Glastonbury?
always take a year off every several
Oh.
years.
Oh, I didn't
But
know
it'll
that.
be on again next year and the year after, I'm sure. We have to see. You have to be open-minded about those things. If it worked one day, it would be fun, I'm sure.
And you are doing, look what I just found. I'm magnifying that. You are doing British Summertime for the second time, which is pretty incredible. I don't know if any artist has ever done it twice, but that's
Oh,
exciting.
they probably have, but I don't know. Yeah, we did it 4 years ago, so it's fairly soon afterwards to do it. But we're excited because one, I could walk there,
Could
which would be fun.
you?
Yeah, easily. I often walk to Hyde Park. And two, it was so great when we played it last time. really a highlight for us. It's just amazing being in the middle of London in a park. If it's a nice day, which it was last time, fingers
Yeah,
crossed,
fingers crossed.
then absolutely that makes it better. But British audiences, we're used to rain, so if it rains, it rains. We just get on with it. It's all fine. We're going to have fun. It's nice the Scissor Sisters are on the bill with us
Yeah,
too,
that's cool.
who were first on the bill with us when they were breaking about 20 odd years ago. And so I'm glad that they're back together and doing so well. And yes, I have a few little special surprises that I am currently working on.
And then you're going to do a couple dates in Europe. I know Italy. What else? I think
There's a few.
help me out here.
There's a festival in Denmark, I think.
Yep.
There's another one in Holland. And then we haven't got time in the period of the summer to do all the European dates that we would have liked to do. So I can say that we are discussing the possibility of returning to Europe probably in October. There's nothing confirmed yet for sure, but we'd like to do it more thoroughly. We sort of felt last time when we played over the summer in Europe that we hadn't been in Europe enough over the last well, a long time. Because mostly we've spent so much time in America.
Right.
And that's fine. We've loved every minute of that. But we're trying to balance it a little bit. And so there is a movement within the Camp Duran, which we often are, to do a few more dates. So I'm hoping that that run in October does come to the surface fairly soon.
Fairly soon. And you know what my next question is going to be. And I know you really can't answer it, but is there a Halloween date in the offering very possibly?
Would we maybe do another Halloween show?
What do you think?
Well, I think there's a fairly decent possibility because Manchester was delightfully macabre. So it seems a pity to not just do at least one more.
What? And then that's it? And then you won't do any more
I don't
Halloween?
know.
You need
You
to do
never
one
say
in.
never.
Where's Transylvania? Is that, where is
What do you
that?
mean, where is Transylvania? It's in
Is it?
Romania.
Oh, I'm sorry. You need to do one in Transylvania, don't you think?
Whatever happened to the Transylvanian twist? Of course.
I think you can't stop doing them. And then you need to do one by me because I live near where the Headless Horseman. Tanner has a friend that lives there.
With a headless horseman.
Oh, Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a great
You
Tim
sh
Burton movie.
yeah, you gotta go do one. That's not too far for me. That's like about a half hour from where I live.
We need a lot of Halloweens to come up, Catherine. That needs to be at least
We
20 Halloweens a year.
could like. We could just take over all of Sleepy Hollow. Anyway.
I tell you what I think the consensus is generally about Halloween is we've had so much fun doing it. It's been a great project, and we've now sort of sewn a little bit of Duran Duran into the pop culture of Halloween, I guess.
Yeah, the
But
fabric.
at the same time, you have to move on to other stuff too. So I suspect there may well be one this year, but it could potentially be the last of the Halloween shows.
I don't like to hear that at all, but
Well, there'll be different things. We've got to finish the reportage album,
yeah, what's the
which
deal with that? What's happening
it's
there?
coming
People want
along.
to know.
Simon's done some really great vocals,
Yeah.
because we had vocals on them already, but as time passes by and we're re reviewing it now, I think certainly for Simon, wanted to have another crack at doing them, and I'm really glad he has. We haven't redone all of them at all. There's a couple where we just decided, nope, it's perfect as it is, don't touch it. But then there's other ones where maybe he's just added a few extra harmonies in a chorus, or he's changed a little bit of a melody somewhere, and every single one of them are great improvements. So really, I suppose next we have to get out the Rio album and rewrite songs like Save a Prayer, because I'm sure they can be better.
What? No, sir. Don't
I'm
do
just
that.
joking, Catherine. Only unreleased ones.
What
And
I
since
think would be what I think that fans would like is for you guys to perform certain albums in its entirety.
yeah, we've talked about this often. I've liked it when I've seen it. I saw David Bowie performing Low in its entirety long, long, long ago in London. And that was a real thrill, actually, because that's one of my favourite records from that period. And I'm not against the idea. We've talked about all kinds of possibilities, but it's time. It's finding the time to do the projects you want to do. I can't believe we're working on an album that's almost 20 years old. But because we've never done it before, bizarrely, it seems quite exciting, and there's something unusual about going through this experience and reliving it, slightly reimagining the edges of it, but not touching the heart of it. So, yeah, you never know. It's going to get done. I'll be amazed if we got it out this year. Now, I think in reality, it'll be sometime early next year, but it'll get finished this year.
Oh, you know what I wanted to talk about? That book, that Dave Twist book that John's been talking about.
So, when we were at the Jimmy Kimmel show, we were backstage, and John reached into his bag and he pulled out this book called Glitter and Glue. And I recognized the young man on the cover, with his eyes blacked out, as being David Johansen from the New York Dolls. And
Oh, I did not.
I said, "What's that, Johnny?" And he said, "Look." And as I read the title, I saw at the bottom the words David Twist. David Twist was a dear friend of mine and John's. And in fact, he's the person that introduced us both back when we were at school. So thank you, David, for introducing us. And thank you for making this amazing book, which John gifted to me very kindly. And it's filled with David's collection of memorabilia from the period when we were growing up through punk times. And it's a pretty remarkable collection. There's so many things in it that I remember from when I was a kid. But it's really, really beautifully done. So that was a nice surprise when we were at the Jimmy Kimmel show. And I know that John did something online already to introduce the book to people, which is great because we don't promote things on Duran Duran other than Duran Duran stuff, as you know. But this really is worthy and. John used to be in a band with David. David was a very dear friend to both of us, and this is a fantastic achievement. It's a real labor of love, and if you get the chance, get a copy. It's really, really
It
special.
is a cool book. John sent a copy to my husband Brian, who's been poring over it each night.
Yeah, I think John's bought up most of them, actually. I should get some more copies from him.
That's so cool. So, Nicholas, I know we won't really speak to you in June, at least not in the cafe. So, I want to take this chance to wish you a very happy birthday. It's not too far now. What will you be doing on your birthday?
Sleeping, I hope.
I hear you. Okay.
There's so much going on at the moment, a lot of different projects that we're not in a position to discuss yet, but very exciting Duran projects and lots of other stuff as well. Plus the preparations for the European tour and Hyde Park, the Free to Love releases, particularly the remix package, that there's barely time in the day to breathe.
I know.
So
You're busy.
I suspect my birthday will be spent mostly doing Duran Duran stuff, as most days in my life are.
Me too.
Somebody,
You and me both.
well, somebody said to me earlier today, "Oh, well, enjoy the bank holiday." And I said, "Well, when is it?" I said, "No, this weekend is bank holiday." I hadn't even got a clue. Not that it makes any difference to me either way, but yeah, it's bank holiday here apparently, Catherine.
We have Memorial Day this weekend, but it's funny when you announced your BST Hyde Park date. I looked at Brian. I said, "You know, I haven't had a July 4th weekend in 100 years. You're always doing something big on 4th of July,
Well, it's
some
the fifth.
something,
It's
right?
the
But it's still
fifth.
the week, the whole right. It's still
So by
gonna."
the fifth, we have triumphed. We have let go of America. We got rid of you.
I
That's
don't
the way
blame
the Brit
you. I
that's the
don't
way the
blame.
British that's the way the British left to look at
I
it.
sure don't blame you. Well, Nicholas, on behalf of everybody in the fan community, I'm wishing you a very happy early birthday. We'll have you back in the cafe probably maybe September. I think September. So we'll see you.
Wow.
I know we'll celebrate my birthday then.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Catherine, thank you in advance to all the people who might send messages.
They
It's
will, trust me.
I yeah, I'm always happy to be just keeping moving forward. It's the view turns into more widescreen each year that passes, and you just never can afford to look behind you.
That's a good mantra. I'm going to look forward to your birthday message. It's always my one of my favorites. It is my favorite of the year. Yours are always so clever. So
No, Catherine, I need to add that to my list.
that's
Oh, no.
right. You got to do it. Anyway, thanks for joining us on the cafe, Nicholas.
All right, Catherine. See
We'll
you
see you.
soon.
Bye.
Bye.